Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you.
Well, I'm excited to be with you guys tonight. And the title of tonight's message is An Evident Life in Christ. Each and every one of us is called to live a life that is a reflection of Jesus Christ. We are called by God to live a life that shows who He is on the inside of us. That we are to be a reflection of His goodness, that we are to be a reflection of His power, to be a reflection of His authority, to be a reflection of His understanding, His wisdom, His knowledge, everywhere that we go, fully submitted to His plan and His purpose. And tonight, if you guys want to go ahead and turn to Daniel chapter number 6, we're going to start off there. But Daniel was an amazing man of God. And Daniel served under 4 kings in the book of Daniel, and while he was serving, every single time there was a new transition of leadership, Daniel rose to the top. He was always doing what God wanted him to do, living how God wanted him to live. It didn't matter what was put in front of him. He did what God said, and the evidence was clear. They wanted proximity to him. Because he did what God said and lived a life that was evident of the God that was on the inside of him. And so we're going to talk about that. And if you, and Daniel chapter 1, verse number 1, Daniel chapter 6, verse number 1 through verse number 3 in the New American Standard is what I'm going to read from tonight. And it says in verse number 1, it seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom. Now, satraps talking about leaders, appointed people to be over and help lead. And it says that they would be in charge of the whole kingdom, verse number 2. And over them, 3 commissioners, of whom Daniel was one. And these satraps might be accountable to them, that the king might not suffer loss. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and the satraps, because he possessed an extraordinary spirit. And the king planned to appoint him ruler over the entire kingdom. What an amazing statement that he had an extraordinary spirit. Now, this word spirit means in the original text is ruah. I don't know if I said that right, Pastor Kobernick. You can correct me later. But ruah, this is what it means. It's a noun and it means spirit in the sense of a special attitude or frame of mind or a disposition which characterizes a person. He walked with a certain kind of authority, with a certain kind of attitude, with a certain kind of mindset, with a certain kind of character. Daniel, as he continued to live his life, he stood out because of the God that he submitted to. See, there was something about him. And we as Christians, as the body of Christ, are called by God to make sure that we are living according to an extraordinary spirit. One that stands out and says, I don't know who this guy is. I don't know what's different about him. But I need to be in proximity. All I see is someone who has wisdom like I've never seen, who walks in an authority like I've never seen. Someone who, no matter what comes at him, he continues to live an extraordinary life. Again, no matter who the king is, no matter what's put in front of him. And see, this is not the first time that this is mentioned, because in Daniel chapter 4, King Nebuchadnezzar knew Daniel could interpret his dream because of the spirit he carried. In Daniel chapter 5, King Belshazzar was told to call Daniel because of the spirit he carried. See, again, he lived a life where people noticed who he was because of the demeanor, because of the character, because there was something different, because he did not live according to everybody else in the world, but he lived according to the convictions of the Holy Spirit. He lived according to the convictions of Father God. He lived a life fully submitted. And because of that, he stood out. How would our world look If Christians today, all over the world, stood out with an extraordinary spirit. Now, I was doing some research, and it says there was a recent estimate from the Hartford Institute of Religious Research, placing the total number of congregations. This is the Protestant church, and it says that the total number of congregations around 370,000 in the United States. So when you think about 340.1 million people that live in the United States, and you have 370,000 Protestant churches in the United States, that means that if there was like 920 roughly people that attended each church, everybody went to church and there was 920 people that attended each church on any given week or any given month, that the church that everybody would be attending church. And if you do look at the studies, they say about 62% of the people that they ask what religion they are, they say that they are Christian. Now, could you imagine what this world would look like if every single one of us, and I'm including myself, trust me, if we lived a life that when we walk around, somebody goes, there is something different about that person. I don't understand why no matter what wind and waves come, that there is a peace over them that surpasses understanding. I don't know what's different about them, but every single time somebody comes against them and spits on them, they continue to love on them. I don't know what's different about this person, but every single time somebody comes, they steal their shirt and they offer up their cloak also. It's amazing to think that no matter what comes against them, they continue to be steadfast in their faith, living a life reflecting Jesus Christ. See, this dark world that we live in, because every single one of us understands that when you turn on the news and you see everything that's going on in our world, it's very dark right now. How would it look if every single one of us lived a life of an extraordinary spirit? Lived a life that says, I need this guy in my proximity. Because of his response, because of his character, because of his demeanor. You know, Galatians chapter 5, verse number 19 through verse number 25. And if you've been here this weekend, you've heard this scripture already. Pastor Dan talked about Galatians chapter 5 this morning and yesterday morning. It was funny, when I was here yesterday morning, I was like, man, the Lord is speaking. I'd already turned in my notes before I heard this, so I'm not just trying to piggyback off of. But listen, the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us something. Because, you know, Pastor Jess was mentioning in our staff meeting the other day, she doesn't believe Jesus is coming back soon. She believes he's on his way. And she says we need to be ready. And it was funny, as we're sitting in this meeting, she says, if you knew that Jesus was going to be here tomorrow, coming back for his bride, what would you be telling the people? And it was like something jumped up on the inside of me. Because here's what God is trying to say. I'm coming back for my church. Is your oil going to be full? Are you going to be looking to fill it up? Are we going to be ready when he comes back? Or are we going to be having fun playing our games in the world? Doing everything that we feel according to our flesh? See, the Lord is trying to say, listen, it's time to set our flesh aside. I did not create you to live this way. I did not create you to submit to these things here on this earth. Now, I know it's not easy. And like Pastor Dan said this weekend, it is a challenge to crucify your old man. It's painful. It hurts. It takes time. This is not to say that anyone is not doing the right thing as you fight the good fight of faith. It's when you submit yourself to the flesh. And so here in Galatians chapter 5, verse number 19 through verse number 25, he says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts, anger, disputes, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you. Just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So here he lists people that live according to the flesh, that submit themselves to these things. I'm not saying if you got mad and you spoke out of anger that all of a sudden you're going to hell. I'm not saying that. If you submit yourself to your anger, if you submit yourself to your sexual impurity, if you say, listen, I am not going to give Jesus this area of my life, and I'm going to hold on to it. This is what it's talking about. When we say, look, I'm going to hold on to my areas that I want to hold on to, and I'm not giving Jesus access to that part of my life. So here he goes along. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. He goes on, he says, against such things there is no law. See, you can have joy when everything's crashing down against you because you have the Spirit alive on the inside of you. You've submitted yourself to the Spirit of God, and so you will show his fruit. You can have long-suffering for all the people that have done you wrong because of the fruit of the Spirit that's alive on the inside of you. See, something changes when you say, I'm not going to live according to the fruit of my flesh, but I'm going to operate according to the fruit of the Spirit. He goes on in verse number 24. This is the scripture Pastor Dan used this weekend. Now, those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Verse number 25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, one small little word change can make a huge difference. When you read this scripture out of the New Living Translation, it says, if you live in the Spirit, let you walk in the Spirit. Now, I get excited when I read that, but when I read it in the New American Standard, he says, if you live by the Spirit, then you need to walk by the Spirit. See, when you're walking in the authority of God, you have been given his authority. Therefore, you can walk in it. But when you're walking by his authority, see, there is a dependency that you're holding on to. You say, I don't want to walk in it. I don't want to just walk in you. I want to be with you. I need you right here alongside of me every way because I can't do this on my own. See, something happens when you understand that you can't live life without Jesus Christ. When you understand that the only way that you're going to operate according to the fruit of the Spirit is if you're fully submitted in humility to the power of the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of you. See, he says you have to walk by the Spirit of God, which means that you are going to, every step that you take, that you understand that he is with you. That means that when you think that nobody's watching, he is, because he's right by you. When you think you're going to get away with something, he's right there. Have you ever been in a situation where you're like, you look around and you think, all right, I'm good. No one's there. I have. And all of a sudden, you do something that you know you're not supposed to do, and the conviction of the Holy Spirit falls down upon you because he says, hey, I was right there with you the whole time. You didn't see me because you weren't looking for me. See, we have to understand that we have to be so dependent on God. This was the life that Daniel lived. He lived a life in full dependency, unwavering to what the Father was telling him. There is a reason why when he walked around, he had an extraordinary spirit. There is a reason why when people saw him, because he was so dependent on what God was telling him, that it didn't matter what anybody said. It didn't matter what the consequences were. He was going to submit to God and God only. And he was going to make sure that he lived a life that was pleasing to him. See, when you do those things, and look, all of us, when we submit to God and we realize what he wants to do in our life, so many times there are things that God asked me to do I don't want to do. I don't see how it's going to turn out for my good. I don't understand how it's going to turn out for my good. I don't want to do it. My flesh doesn't want to do it. And I fight it. But what happens when I finally choose to do it? Something happens. I can go back and look and say, man, I see what God was doing in that situation. All of a sudden, I have a glimpse of what God saw the whole time. But see, again, if we want to live a life that is evident to Jesus Christ on the inside of us, then we need to learn some lessons from Daniel and how he was able to live a life that reflected this extraordinary spirit. The first thing that we're going to talk about today is Daniel was determined to crucify the flesh. Now, again, just like we read in Galatians chapter 5, that we are called by God to crucify the flesh. Daniel lived this life, and you could turn to Daniel chapter 1. And in Daniel chapter 1, there was something that was taking place. Daniel was taken in that he was going to serve the king. And so he was given a food allotment. He had to clean himself up. He had to do some schooling. There was lots of things that he had to do to prepare himself for the task that was going to be in front of him. And he's looking at this food allotment, and he's looking at what they're trying to give him, and something happens here in verse number 8. It says, but Daniel made up his mind. See, when we say yes to Jesus Christ, we don't say yes to Jesus Christ so that we don't just die and go to hell. We are making up our mind. When we hear the altar call, and you'll hear it at the end, surrendering all of our heart and all of our life, we're making up our mind that we're going to do it his way, not ours. That's the decision that we're choosing to make. So here it says, but Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or the wine which he drank. So he sought permission from the commander. I love this. See, he had already made up his mind. But you see the humility here? He still sought permission from the commander. He already knew he wasn't going to do it. But sometimes in our life, and I know I can get this way, somebody asks me to do something that I know that God is telling me not to do, I want to be very loud and very vocal about why they're wrong. But sometimes we need to, with humility, even though we know what we're going to do. See, maybe it's in our workplace and your boss is asking you to do something. Instead of just saying, no, I'm not going to do that, that's wrong. You could say, listen, I have a conviction. If it's okay with you, I would not want to do that thing that you're asking me to do. I would not like to do it the way that you're asking me to do it. See, we can still walk in a humility even when we're in there in the world. He's already made his decision. He's already chosen not to do this. And I'm not saying anybody, if you're asked to do something contrary to the word of God, don't do it. But there's a way that we can respond that gives an extraordinary spirit so that we're not viewed as bullies, we're not viewed as dictators, we're not viewed as evil. Listen, we will stand up for righteousness. But again, we're trying to draw people to Christ. He goes on, and it says, so he sought permission from the commander and the officials that he might not defile himself. Now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander and of the officials. He says, you know what? I'm going to let you eat your vegetables and your water. Now, I can tell you right now, I don't think I would ever fight for a vegetables and water diet. I like water, maybe coffee, asparagus wrapped in bacon, right? I'll eat those kind of vegetables. But see, there was a conviction on Daniel's heart. So he says, you know what? I'm going to give you 10 days and we're going to see, but I'm not losing my head so that you can stand up for your own convictions, and we're going to see what happens. So it goes on, and it says in verse number 15, at the end of the 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. See, when they submitted to what God says, something took place. God was not looking to sustain them. He was looking to improve them. God saw the beginning and the end. He knew what they needed. And he says, listen, if you're willing to submit to me and do it my way, I'm going to show everybody else around you what happens when you do what God says. See, so many times we're so worried about what's going to happen if we do what God says. You know, I remember a time when I was working here at the church and I had my own business and I was doing these side jobs. And a lot of times I would get paid in cash. And so when I was getting paid in cash, you know what I did? I didn't pay taxes. And I had this extra cash and I wanted to be able to spend it. And I needed the money at that time. And I remember Pastor Jim was talking to the congregation. He says, hey, listen, the Bible says, render to Caesar's what is Caesar's. And if you're not doing your taxes properly, you're in sin. So you can't, because here's what happens. I'm saying, and I was saying, I don't trust God with my resources. So I need to do it my way. So I remember when he made this statement, he says, if you're cheating on your taxes, stop and start paying your taxes. And he was speaking to me, even though he was speaking to the congregation. So I decided that at that point, I was gonna start paying my taxes. Now at the time, I was getting back on my returns like anywhere from like $800 to $1,200 a year at the end when I filed my taxes. And so I was terrified at what I was gonna have to pay with all this money I was making. And so you know what happened that I didn't realize? There were certain write-offs that I got. Certain ways that I could write certain things off at my home, write certain things off with my vehicle, write off certain times with gas, all these different things. I filed my taxes next year. I was terrified I was going to have to pay. I got a $6,000 return because I did it God's way. See, so many times we're afraid to do it God's way because we're saying, listen, if I do it your way, God, I won't have enough. This is why we're so afraid and we withhold our tithes and our offerings in the house. This is why we're so afraid and we have these bad relationships that God is not wanting us to have, because we're afraid that if we don't continue in this relationship that's contrary to the ways of God, I won't find somebody else that's going to love me. So we continue to submit ourselves to our flesh out of fear instead of submitting ourselves to God and doing what he says, not knowing that if we just did what God said, he would show everyone that he's gonna make us better than when we started. See, if you're willing to trust God, sacrifice your flesh, saying, listen, I'm gonna die to what I know because I see everybody else eating these steaks and this lamb and all of this. I'm gonna be over here eating my Brussels sprouts and my broccoli. That doesn't sound good. I like Brussels sprouts with meat in it. When you do what God says, and you push your flesh aside, you will see the fruit of your obedience, but you have to be willing to crucify your flesh. The second thing that I see here is that Daniel depended on the wisdom of God. So as time goes on, here's what happens. King Nebuchadnezzar, he has this dream, and he's ready. You can go ahead and turn to Daniel chapter 2. King Nebuchadnezzar is ready to kill everyone if they can't tell him the dream, and then tell him what the dream means. And nobody can do that. It's like, wait, I don't know what you mean. There's nobody that can do that. So he gets mad. He says, you know what? I'm killing everybody. All of you are going to die because you're not doing what I told you to do. So we're going to pick up here in Daniel chapter 2, verse number 16 through verse number 18. So Daniel requested, Daniel went in and requested that the king, of the king, that he would give him time in order that he might declare the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to the house and informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, about the matter, so that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Here's what he did. He heard a bad report, and he sought the Lord. Now, I'm not opposed to going to the doctor. I'm going to the doctor. I have a test that's getting done this coming Tuesday. I believe in doctors. I believe in the wisdom of doctors. I understand, but listen, my healing doesn't come from the doctor. My healing comes from the Lord. I believe in what they tell us when you go to the banks and you try to get wisdom from all of these people. You can have attorneys in cases and they're going to tell you things. You can seek out their counsel. But you better pray and ask wisdom from God. See, do not make your decision just based on what man says. But always move based on what God says. Because too many times the flesh is going to get involved and try to tell you something contrary to what God wants you to do. You know, Pastor Jim used to always say, 2 + 2 = 4. 2 + 2 is whatever God says it is. So what happens is that they tell you all of the statistics and all of the reasons why this is going to be the only way. And we have a choice to listen to it and move on. Now, sometimes God will tell you, that's the direction I need you to go, and you need to do it. But seek the counsel of the Lord. You know, here he even goes to his friends, because what we like to do, we like to call our parents, we like to call our friends, we like to call our coworkers, give me advice. See, we go to God for the provision, but we go to man for the advice. How does that make sense? And we all do it. If you just give me the answers, God, if you give me what I need, and I'm going to go find out how to get it, and then God, you give it to me. But here Daniel says, look, I found myself in an impossible situation. There is no way that I can get myself out of this unless God gives me revelation. And so here he goes to his friends. He says, hey, pray that we may have compassion, that we may be able to have understanding so we don't die with everyone else. Well, God gave him the revelation to the dream. And we're going to pick up in Daniel chapter number 2, verse number 46 through verse number 47. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and gave homage to Daniel and gave orders to present him an offering of fragrant incense. The king answered Daniel and said, surely your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, since you have been able to reveal this mystery. See, when you go to the Lord and you seek his wisdom, then you give him glory for the response that you get. And when you give him glory, the world sees the power of God that came through you, and they will understand, listen, if I need wisdom, I need to go after the God that he went after. See, all of a sudden, it changes the scope of everything. This is how you rise to the top. This is how people will come to you. They'll ask you what to do. They'll ask you how to do it. They're going to come and they're going to seek out counsel from you. Why? Because they know that you're going to seek the Lord. They're going to know that there is something different about you. There is a spirit of excellence on your life. An extraordinary discipline. That's different than the rest of the world. See, when you can stand out, living a life that is reflecting Jesus Christ in everything we do, it changes the game of life that we live in. See, we have a lot of empty seats in this church. We need to show the power of God that's living in us and through us. So when we're walking through the world and they say, I want what he has, how do I get it? I want to know what he knows. How do I know it? I want to understand what he understands. How do I get it? See, they will want all of this. And you can say, well, listen, I get taught all the time at the Rock Church. It's an amazing church. The scripture is real out there. It's no bull, only God's truth. See, we talk about the word of God. We believe the word of God. We teach the word of God. We give God all the glory. We fully equip the saints to go do the full-time ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is a place for you in our house. Come sit next to me in church. I want to encourage you to come. The worship is amazing. The greeters are amazing. The prayer teams are amazing. The children's ministry is amazing. See, you can speak into the lives of the people that you come across. Why? Because there is something different about the Spirit of God that's alive on the inside of you when you're fully submitted to do what God is asking you to do. But we have to start changing the way we live, crucifying our flesh, living a life that seeks the wisdom of God. And then third, Daniel lived unashamed. See, it's crazy to think, and I know I've dealt with this so many times, where you find yourself in a situation where you know God is encouraging you to minister to somebody, and you don't want to do it. You're worried about what they might say. You're worried about what they might think. You know, too many people in this world look at Christians as mean, as crazy. We're going to sit around at the table. We're going to talk about life. As soon as they find out that I'm a Christian, they're not going to want to talk to me anymore. They're going to think that I'm just going to try to drag them to church. They're going to think I'm crazy. They're going to think I'm weird. They're not going to want to be my friend. So I'm going to be a Christian at church. But when I'm out there in the world, I'm going to blend in. Because I don't want to find myself in an uncomfortable situation. See, the world has done a really good job, and especially in the United States of America, where we have such freedom and such liberty to be able to come to church, a place like this. You know, when you go to China, they don't have a church like this that they can come to, with open doors that they could just walk in and worship freely. When you go to North Korea, they can't talk about Jesus in the open streets. People in Africa, Pastor Dan was talking about recently, that are being persecuted and murdered for their faith. Yet they're still gathering. But here, because we're so worried about what somebody might think, the world tells us that we're mean. Somebody's going to dislike my post on Instagram. I might lose some friends. Listen, if it costs you some friends, lose some friends. It's time for the church to stop being ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, we cannot live a life. Why is it that we could be so bold for everything else in the world? You know, I went to a football game a few years ago. Jason, you could go ahead and put up the screen. I went to with my buddy Richard and Adam over here on the screen. We went up to Santa Clara and saw a 49ers game at Levi's Stadium. And you could see the boldness of my friend Adam over here with his Vikings jersey. It was funny, a funny story, a little side note. We're on our way up to the game, and Pastor Dan sent Adam a text that he was wearing Viking socks. To church that day in support of Adam. I'm not holding it against you. Now, the Niners beat the brakes off of the Vikings that game, so I asked Pastor Dan to wear those socks every Sunday. But see, Adam was willing to go into enemy territory and support the team that he loved, that he believed in, that he wanted to root for. When everybody was booing, when the Vikings offense took the field, he still stood there and clapped, even though he stood out in purple in a sea of red. He was even so bold that he wore that jersey after the game on the way back to the car with a bunch of drunken people around talking all kinds of mess. See, we're willing to be bold for the things of the world. Why is it that when it comes to Jesus Christ, we take our Jesus hat off as we get out of church and stick it over in the side seat of the car? I'm going to go ahead and put that over here before I go into Trader Joe's, just in case I run into somebody. I'm going to make sure that I'm not blaring my Christian music too loud, because I don't want people to think I'm weird. When I see somebody hurting and I'm praying and somebody walks in the room, I'm going to get quiet real quick, because I don't want to look foolish. What would happen if we started inviting more people to pray? When we're standing out there and we see somebody that's struggling and we see somebody hurt, listen, if they don't want to hear God bless you, I'm praying for you, pray for them anyways. Listen, you can let them know, because there's going to be a day where they find themselves where there's nowhere else to go, and they're going to say, look, there was a man who once prayed for me. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. I don't know where to go, so I'm going to run to the feet of Jesus because I'm willing to try anything. Listen, why don't we get a little bit more bold for the things of God? The world wants to say we're crazy. Kind of song, People Think You're Crazy. What? I don't remember the name of how the song goes. It says, My Best Friend Was Born in a Manger. I don't remember what the name of the song was. Anyways, yeah, somebody remembers it. People are going to think you're crazy. People think I'm crazy all the time. That's okay. I'll be crazy. I'll be in heaven. And I'm going to take people with me. See, the world is going to think you're crazy, but the Bible says, listen, don't get discouraged with people that hate you, because they don't hate you. They hate me. That's what Jesus says. It's nothing personal. Jesus came to offer love, and they put him on a cross. He came to bridge a gap and graft us into the body of Christ, and they killed him. Crazy to think. But because of his sacrifice, because of his boldness, because of what he did, each and every one of us has an opportunity to spend eternal life with him. See, if you're willing to be bold, how many lives can be saved because you did what God said, regardless of the cost, regardless of what was going to happen, saying, listen, I'm willing to be bold for the things of God. I don't care what it costs me. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care how many friends I lose. I don't care how many family members I lose, because there's going to be a day that they're going to see the Jesus on the inside of me. And again, they're going to come running, because every time there was a storm and a wind and a wave, you stood firm on what God said. If you go to Daniel, back to Daniel chapter 6. So remember, Daniel was appointed above everyone. And all of a sudden, all of the other leaders, they come and they say, you know what? You need to make an edict, king. If anybody's willing to go to any other god or any other man other than you over the next 30 days, you should throw them in the lion's den. He says, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Done. Crazy. So what happens? Daniel catches wind of this in verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. Now in his roof chambers, he had windows open towards Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day, praying and giving thanks to God, before his God, as he had been doing previously. Isn't it crazy to think, after he heard the news that the thing was signed, after he knew the cost of him getting down on his knees and praying, he didn't go into his room, close the blinds so that nobody would see. He didn't go hide and do it so that nobody would know. He did it with his blinds open. He did it as he always did. See, can you imagine? They were looking. I bet you anything, Daniel's going to be up there doing this again. And when he does, he thinks he's next in line. He thinks he's second in command. We got him here. So he goes up. He prays. They find out about it. They throw him in the lion's den. You probably heard the story. The mouths of the lions were closed. King Darius didn't want to do this. And he opens, pulls the tomb back, sees him still alive, and he begins to celebrate. And if you go to Daniel 6, 25 through verse number 26, then Darius the king wrote to all the people, nations and men of every language who were living in all the land, may your peace abound. I make a decree that in all the dominion of my kingdom, men are to fear and tremble before the God of Daniel. He is the living God and enduring forever, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed, and his dominion will be forever. See, if Daniel decided that he was going to close the curtains, he would have never been thrown into the lion's den. And if he would have never been thrown into the lion's den, the world would not have seen the hand of God move on his behalf. And because they got to see what God did, there was a decree that was made. Listen, you will serve the Lord God in my land. You need to understand that his kingdom will never be destroyed. See, if you live a life unapologetic to the gospel of Jesus Christ, the world will see the power and the authority and the ability of Almighty God. They will see what God did in your life and what he can do in their life. Got one more scripture I'm going to read. Is that okay? Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14. He says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand." If your light's been under a basket, pull that basket off. It's time to go on a lampstand. He goes on. He says, "And it gives light to all who are in the house." See, you may not realize who's watching. It may seem like nobody sees. But if we're willing to take the basket off, if we're willing to go on the nightstand, if we're willing to be up high and shine bright, it says it gives light to everybody in the room. See, they may not have asked for it. They may not have known they wanted it, but when it shines bright, they will see it. See, when you live a life for Jesus Christ, where the people around you will see the goodness of God in your life. He goes on, he says, "Let your light shine." We need to let our light shine. The world needs to see the goodness of God in you, in me, in each and every one of us. They need to know that if God did it for us, he'll do it for them. They need to know that God is moving on their behalf. They need to know that God is the answer to their problems. He says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Did you guys get something from God today? We are called by God to live an extraordinary life in an extraordinary spirit. Ahead above the rest, letting the people see the God on the inside of us. But we got to crucify the flesh. We got to seek the wisdom of God. And we got to be unapologetic about what God is doing. Can we give God one more praise? Now, before we finish up, I want to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to surrender their heart and life over to Jesus Christ. Like we mentioned earlier, listen, Jesus is asking for all of our heart and all of our life. So I ask you today, have you made the decision to surrender all of your heart and all of your life to Jesus Christ? Now, I'm not talking about an abracadabra thing. I'm not saying, well, listen, I'm here, aren't I? I know there's a God. It's not about knowing there's a God. It's about surrendering to God. I ask you to, you say, well, listen, I grew up in church. It's not about what you were taught. It's about what you've submitted to. Have you made Jesus Lord and Savior of your life? And so I want to ask you today, if you've never made a decision to surrender all of your heart and all of your life, I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. Because here's the thing, each and every one of us is going to die. There's nobody in this room that's going to live on this earth forever. But where you spend your eternal life is going to be solely dependent on whether you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father except by me," which means we will not spend eternal life in heaven if we do not have a relationship with Jesus, which means that we will spend our eternal life in hell. Well, I don't want to talk about hell. I don't want to think about hell. You cannot talk about it, not think about it all you want, but one day you will end up there if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's the truth. Man, you're being harsh. Yeah, because it's real. The fact of the matter is, if you're feeling like, I don't want you trying to scare me, listen, it's scary to think at any given moment, listen, we could have an earthquake right now that takes every single one of us out. We can get in our car, drive home, have our heart stop, get into a car accident. People die every day. We do lots of funerals here at The Rock. All different ages think, I got more time. Says who? Our days are numbered by the Lord. Some of you may live till your 90s. Some of you may not. I can tell you right now, that you need to make sure that if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you change that. Because you can't be good enough to get to heaven. You can't be smart enough to get to heaven. The only way to get to heaven is by fully surrendering all of your heart and all of your life to Him. That's the only way. And so I want to give you an opportunity today to surrender all of your heart and all of your life to Him. So if you're in this sanctuary today and you have not given all of your heart and all of your life to Jesus Christ, let's change that. Now, I'm not standing before you saying, listen, it's going to be an easy road from this point forward. I'm here to tell you it will not be. But can we be real? It hasn't been an easy road up to this point. When I surrendered my heart and life over to Jesus Christ, what was I being robbed from? Being homeless? Oh, it's not fair. God took away all the fun things when I was sticking needles in my arm and I was going to die. Two heart attacks. Can't believe He doesn't want that for my life anymore. How sad is it that He's given me a healthy marriage? See, things happen when you surrender to Jesus Christ. And we don't realize the magnitude of what God wants to do in our life. And we think that if I say yes to Jesus, I'm going to have to give up all the fun stuff that I'm doing. But the reality is, most of us that drink the way that we do, the reason why we do it is because we're depressed and we're discouraged and we're worried about what's going on in the world, so they end up drinking. Oh, God's going to take away my alcohol. No, He's going to give you freedom to where you no longer have to turn to alcohol. Well, God's going to take away my relationships. No, He's going to give you freedom where you don't have to look for a relationship to fill a void that only He can fill in the first place. There's a reason why you go from relationship to relationship. Because we're trying to fill it with the wrong thing. Well, listen, if I do that, I'm going to have to turn my life around. Again, listen, when I turned my life around, I was homeless. What was I giving up? I had nothing left. But Jesus came alongside of me and He loved me in my worst days. I didn't have to clean up to come to Him. I didn't have to be good enough to come to Him. All I had to do was make a decision. See, there was a man on the cross. He says, Jesus, remember me. He says, today you will be with me in paradise. The same man that says, I am deserving of this cross. See, you might be saying, I'm deserving of hell. All of us are. I do not deserve the shed blood of Jesus Christ, but He gave it for me anyways. And He gave it for you too. So I'm here to offer you an opportunity to say yes to Jesus Christ and spend eternity with Him. I'm not trying to coerce you. I'm not trying to entice you. I'm here to tell you the truth. That if you don't have a relationship with Jesus and you were to die today, you will spend your eternal life in hell. And there is no going back. But if you make the decision today, you can have confidence that if you meant it and you pursue it, even though the weights of life will continue to come, even though the enemy is going to continue to come, even though you will make a mistake tomorrow, I promise you, I probably made 30 in the last, couple hours. We all fall short of the glory of God. But I'm not going to stay in it. So you don't have to stay in it. That's the thing. And when you make the decision to surrender all of your heart and all of your life to Jesus Christ, you can have confidence to know that the day you stand before Jesus, you will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the presence of the Lord. Because you've established a relationship with Him. Now, maybe you made this decision before, but you didn't follow it with all of your heart and all of your life. It's time to change that today. Because like I said, you got to make the decision, then you got to pursue it. It's not good enough to walk the aisles one time and then go back and live your life the way that you have always lived it. The Bible says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. We got to fight the good fight. We got to not only start well, but we got to finish well. So I want to encourage you, if you made this decision before, but you didn't follow it with all of your heart and all of your life, I want to give you an opportunity to do that today. Maybe you're going, well, listen, if I do that, I'm going to be embarrassed. You might get embarrassed. Remember point number three? Unashamed. If you can't stand up to the insecurities here in a safe and friendly place like the church, you will not stand up when the pressure comes. Listen, persecution is going to come against the church. There's going to be a fight. Jesus is coming back. Are you ready? Is your lamp full with oil? Are you prepared to be received into the family of God? If the answer to that question is not yes, then let's change that tonight. So here's what I'm going to do on the count of three. One, two, three. I'm going to clap my hands together like this. When I clap my hands together, if you've been running from God instead to God, I'm speaking to you. Never made a wholehearted commitment to Jesus Christ, I'm speaking to you. If you're not sure today, make sure today. I'm speaking to you. Let's stop letting the world beat us up and dictate how we're going to live our life. Let's step into the newness of God so we can walk in the authority of God, so that we can come and walk by the Spirit of God. But first, you need to surrender to God. So when I count to three, clap my hands together. Everybody in here, if you need to surrender your heart and life over to Jesus Christ, I want you to raise your hand. One, two, three. I see your hand. I see your hand. I see your hand. Praise God. Anybody else today? Didn't embarrass them, won't embarrass you. I see your hand. Praise God. Anybody else today? You guys can put your hands down. Anybody else? Oh, I see your hand. Praise God. I see your hand. Praise God. Anybody else today? Saying, Brian, I know I need to make this decision. I'm just not ready yet. Don't wait till you're ready. Time is now. Brian, I got a lot of cleaning up to do. Don't wait till you're clean. You will never clean yourself up enough. Jesus is calling you home right now. I'm going to do one more swoop through. Anybody else? We'd be so bold to say yes to Jesus. Anybody else? Amen. Well, let's give God a hand, giving him praise. If you said that you're going to surrender your heart and life over to Jesus Christ, as everybody stand at their feet, I'm going to ask you to come and walk up this aisle. I want to pray with you. I want to shake your hand, and I want to give you some information. So if you can get out of your seat, come up here to the front so that I can meet you and I can pray with you. If you should have raised your hand, get out of your seat and come up here to the front. Another hand. If you raise your hand and you're still in your seat, let's not do it our way. God is drawing you home, but you have to make the decision. And again, if you're there and you know you need to make the decision, but you didn't raise your hand, it's not too late. Whatever it is that you're concerned about, Jesus wants to make you new, but you got to first surrender to him. We're going to sing that one more time, and I want to give you one more opportunity to get out of your seat and come up here to the front. But with
Christ, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness.
Best decision of your life. We're going to say a prayer with you, inviting Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life. Real simple, real easy. You repeat after me. Now, here's the thing. You're going to leave here today, and you're going to wonder, did this really happen? Is it real? Don't let the devil beat you up. Don't let him discourage you. Don't let him tell you that none of this was real. Continue to get planted into the things of God. Continue to come back to the house of God. When you go out, the enemy is going to try to tell you not to come back to church. He's going to try to tell you that nothing's changed. He's going to try to tell you that you're going to go to hell anyways, whatever the case may be. Fight through the lies and the deceptions of the enemy and get back to church. Because here you'll get encouragement. Here you're going to get built up. Here you're going to get edified. You're going to get fully equipped so that you can continue to go out and do what God has asked you to do. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you'll repeat after me, say, Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you because of your shed blood. We can now say that we're born again, that we're headed for heaven and denying hell. So come, Holy Spirit, into our hearts, into our lives, guide us and direct us, motivate us and encourage us, fully equip us through your grace that we may live how you've called us to live. We declare from this day forward, we're coming to you. We're running your race. We're going to finish well. We thank you, Jesus, that we can surrender to you and live with you for all eternity. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Now, this is my friend, Pastor Joel, on my right, your left. Here's what he wants to do. He wants to take you off to the side here, and he wants to give you some information. Let you know he's going to introduce you to a friend, somebody to come alongside of you that's going to help you, so that encourage you to come back to church. He's going to give you a book, and he's going to send you back into your family. So if you can make a left-hand turn, follow Pastor Joel. Oh, man. It's my favorite part of every service is seeing people make, because I know, listen, best decision I ever made. This is why we invite people to church. This is why we go into the highways and byways and compel them to come. This is why we continue to live a life that's reflecting Jesus Christ, so that people can continue to come and the altars the same way we did. Aren't you grateful somebody told you about Jesus? Let's lift our hands. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person that came to service today. We thank you, Lord God, for the equipping of the saints to do the work of the ministry. We thank you, Lord God, for each and every person that as we receive your word, we will go out and we will apply your word, that we will see the fruit of your word. And Lord God, we will see the Inland Empire will be saved. Thank you so much. God bless you guys.
Hi, my name is Pastor Joel. Hey, this is my question for you. Now that you've committed to Jesus Christ, how are you going to grow? We at The Rock want to help you out. We have an online resource called Welcome to Your Destiny. It is your next step to grow. Our mission here at The Rock is to help you grow into Jesus Christ. The Bible says to grow into all aspects of Him. As you read this little book, it's going to tell you what to do and how to do it. We encourage you, if you're ever in the area, please plug into one of our services and connect with one of our SPTs. We call them spiritual personal trainers to help you grow, to plug into this new family that you're now a part of. Our goal and God's goal is to see you fit, healthy, and mature in Jesus Christ. So welcome to the family of God, and God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.